And in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. In the next 3 minutes, you're going to say, that was then and this is now. And then you're going to say, that was them and this is us. Just in case you were wondering what you're about to think. Dr. Andy Stanley, representing the Charismatic Evangelical Movement, finds himself regularly starting his homilies with the following phrase. I'm sorry I'm about to offend you. And at least half the audience says, that's right. Just try to remember. That was then, this now. That was them, this is us. Almost everyone has heard the words from 1 Corinthians 13, 1-13, which was read earlier. But not all of us realize that these words were not written for a wedding. They were written for a church in deep conflict. This was a group of people filled with destructive behaviors and dysfunctional attitudes. Paul is writing to them to encourage accountability for those attitudes and behaviors. The problem was, according to the author Jerry Irish, everything Paul says love is not, they are. And everything he says love is, they aren't. Remember, recently we read the story of Jesus' public ministry beginning in his hometown. The same thing was happening there. When we acknowledge the context in which I've just outlined, Paul's words become a standard against which each of our congregations can be assessed and perhaps even found wanting. Now, let's acknowledge that we will probably never reach the high standards of love that Paul is writing about. But would it be at least fair to say that we all have potential to grow? Our congregation can point to huge successes within the commitments of extraordinary people, especially in the areas of new communications and outreach ministries. This parish is well known for its generosity in responding to the socioeconomic situation in our community. The question in the passage becomes, what's the motive? Are we doing it because it's the right thing to do, or is there more? Is there a genuine love for others? Here's the great challenge for 2022. How might we pour more love into our generosity in the community? How may we follow Jeffrey Jones' advice, whereby he says, we make love a guiding force in our lives? One of the most difficult questions in marriage and relationship with our children and our grandchildren includes examining how we express love. Is love always being nice? Is it always being kind? Is it always accepting? Or are there moments in which love might confront and even invite dialogue about the growing edges for each of us? Just a gentle reminder, that was then, this is now. That was them, this is us. You still with me? I'm waiting for a major protest. Just a reminder that the words in today's passage arose out of a pastoral crisis into the church in Corinth. You see, Paul had heard that some of the members of the Corinthian church were trying to achieve higher status based on their self-perception of their gifts and ministry. Paul wanted to remind that all else, above all else, is love. He was deeply grieved of their refusal to share and their deep criticism of each other, boasting about their own talents and abilities and seeking recognition for themselves. Or as Lewis Galloway put it, the Corinthian Christians are abusing their freedom, refusing to share, scorning their neighbor's spiritual gift, boasting in their own gifts, seeking recognition for themselves, and jockeying for position in the church. You see, it would seem that some people way back then would say that love is just another spiritual gift. But the truth is that love is the supreme gift and the filter through which we need to see every other gift. Remember the last verse. But the greatest of these is love. It's acceptable for there to be plenty of theological perspectives, programs, and new possibilities. And most of the time, we can accept anyone the way they are and invite them to grow. But every once in a while, there's tension because of a lack of money or differing views, and suddenly everybody wants what they want. Lewis Galloway said it well in these cases. Christians seem to have a special gift for cloaking self-interest and self-righteousness. You see, love is more important than being right, than being in authority, or being the only one honored. We can all grow in the spirit of love. Or as Galloway puts it, those who think they've gained everything by standing on principle, dominating others, or being right have lost it all. Paul is talking about the character of love. This is speaking about God's love for humanity as shown through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. You see, love is not about a feeling, but an action. An action. This kind of love does not seek its own, but the good of the one who is loved. Paul's description of the character of love awakens believers to the transformation and renewal of love in a community. In church life, we can all grow in this kind of love. It requires patience, perseverance, and the exploration of the potential of every member of the church family. Meanwhile, we are assured of the divine love that never fades away. Would it be fair to say that Paul is trying to deal with bickering, backstabbing, and blather of a community that had a few people who were taking pride in their own knowledge or capacity to express spiritual gifts better than others? Paul's response is, love is a state of being. It's about a growing relationship with God. He reminded them that they were a group of people who knew about God's love, and that this love had been revealed in Jesus Christ. Jerry Irish wrote, their love is a response to God's gracious love, and it is from this relationship of love that all their spiritual gifts spring. In essence, Paul is trying to communicate the message that the love he speaks of is a result of God's presence in our lives and of our human potential to follow his will. Our human potential to follow his will. He reminds us that this love can be expressed in patience, believing, hoping, honoring, kindness, and it never envious of others, rude, crude, or obnoxious. So here's the big question. Is this kind of love humanly possible on our own without God? I propose to you, no. But in the presence of God's love and the emulating of the love of Christ, yes. It's not about seeking our own position or advantage, but working for the benefit of others. As theologian Jerry Irish put it so well, the love described in 1 Corinthians 13 is a love we experience as God's unshakable grasp upon our lives. It is the source of our greatest security and thus our freedom to actually be patient and kind, to bear all things and not insist on our own way. But wait. What's the conflict about now? What's the conflict about now? May we acknowledge that we live in a new day? One word changed everything. COVID. Now let me preface by saying that I believe that conflict is healthy when there is discussion, debate, and diplomacy. I got a little curious and looked up some of the synonyms for the word conflict. They include divergence, dissension, discord, dispute, and disagreement, just among a few. Is it possible to acknowledge that there is a difference of opinion today about vaccines? Can we admit that there is discord about recent political actions? Is it reasonable to suggest that there is dispute among process, procedures, and protocols? Yes, conflict comes by many names. I have been so proud of this parish and its willingness to look at the mental health issues that come out of the experience we are in the middle of. There's recent discussion on something called dysthymia, condition that takes over 2 years of observation, tests, and therapy to diagnose. The translation is high-functioning depression. They say the symptoms include constant exhaustion, easy frustration, frequent confusion, constantly feeling overwhelmed, having trouble picturing the future, just to name a few. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Let me do that again. Any of that feel familiar? Don't put up your hand. But we could do a collective uh-huh. You know, it's a generation that spends a lot of time trying to diagnose each other. Have you noticed? Most of your conversations are now, are they this, are they this, are they this, are they that? Sometimes when I'm with friends, I take great humor in agreeing to everything they suggest I have. One after another, they have a diagnosis and a diagnosis and a diagnosis. And I simply respond in the following way. My condition could be completely fixed with 6 to 8 weeks on Blackbeard Island in the Caribbean, lying on a large cot by myself with somebody pretty bringing me drinks. You know, the most incredible gift that we can give each other right now, right here, in this place, in this moment, is to pour all of our energy not in diagnosis or finding criticism with others, but to pour all of our energy in loving each other and doing what seems right from there. Something to pray about. Amen.